That's awesome.
That's awesome.
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 Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's, so
that's awesome. Oh, awesome. That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Steve Burton. Is it in your contract with me that you always start first?
I don't know. You sometimes you seem a little pensive. So, and I don't know. Ladies tell me they like a guy who takes control.
Well, calm yourself down.
I'm trying.
So you're trying to take control.
In a place that I feel comfortable and safe, which is with you. Trying to take control. So I'm doing my best. But now I don't feel like it's landing the way I want it to land.
No, it's fine.
It's just making you angry.
It's not making me angry at all. I'm not angry today.
You're not?
No. I feel good today. How are you feeling?
I feel pretty good.
Yeah?
I feel pretty good.
A lot of rain here, right?
I know.
It's been raining crazy.
It's nice to feel the seasons.
It is. Well, that's true.
Yeah. I had a great day yesterday. I had a fantastic appointment for a new television show, which was lovely.
Great.
Had a nice working day here at General Hospital.
Beautiful.
Right?
Even better.
Got to see you.
It's the best so far.
Got to edit our podcast at a really nice sushi restaurant.
Even, wow.
Drink a big thing of sake.
Dude, you're living the dream.
Dude, it was one of these days where...
While your wife is at home slaving.
Oh my God, doing everything. Kids. I mean, I had this really great list of things that I accomplished yesterday.
Yeah.
And still, when you compare it to what Kira did at home and the things that she checked off her list,
yeah,
my things look pretty meager.
Well, yes, but there's you need both sides of it.
I suppose.
Or there
yes.
is no union, right?
Well yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the good thing.
But I'll be going back home to Sacramento today and hopefully crossing off some of the Anderson family lists.
Yeah, I don't like those lists.
Well, the family lists?
Yeah.
Well, something you're doing is working because today is your wedding anniversary.
20 years.
20 years. 20 years.
It's
so
amazing, man.
We're actually recording this the day after we recorded with Lexi. So we talked briefly about your anniversary yesterday. But 20 years, man. That's,
I know. It's something, huh?
It really is.
I don't even know what to say, man. I'm blessed. My wife is amazing. She's just, you know, and it sounds so corny because, you know, it's a huge journey, right? That's
right.
Marriage is discovering and dealing with things, issues, and hanging in there no matter what with each other through good times and bad times. And it's just, you start to really learn what love is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we think in the beginning, oh, I love her. No, you have no idea.
No freaking clue.
You have no idea what love is.
Yeah.
And I love my wife now more than I ever have. And there's so many facets that go into that, but it's like I just appreciate and love her so much, you know?
Absolutely.
Now, and it's just, I don't know, man. It's hard to wrap my head around it for me personally. I'm like, 20 years, holy crap, where did it go?
Right.
And then you see you have three kids, you're like, oh
that's where.
Oh, there's where my half my life went. No,
and
no, I'm kidding.
All of my money.
And all of my money. But it's just, it's amazing, man. It's really cool.
Well,
and you know, we've yet to really celebrate. We're gonna make this kind of whole year. I'm gonna do a bunch of different things for her this whole year.
What is is 20 a,
I don't know,
like a metal or an element?
Asking it's, the wrong it's dude.
It's the helium one. It's the bromo.
It's the hairspray one.
It's the, it's the just for men one. I think.
All I do. Oh man! Now you had to ruin a beautiful moment.
Oh yes.
And now you're gonna ruin a beautiful friendship. So, but it's amazing, dude.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, it's just like, gosh, dang.
You see, I remember in my 20s and in my, well, teens and 20s, you know, I had this idea of romantic love that, you know, didn't serve me very well because it was that, okay, I have this feeling and this is what I identify as love.
Sure.
When that feeling would wane, I was like, oh, I guess I don't love anymore. And
right.
So I would look for that feeling elsewhere. And that often got me
in trouble. You mean lust?
I think that's what it was.
I mean, 100% that's what it was.
So you know, and I was always looking for, okay, what would be what would be the thing that comes in that matches that feeling that then becomes more important? I was looking for that other thing to come in. And so a lot of my relationships lasted about a year because I would get to that place where I was like, okay, something else has to be here for this to continue. And I don't know what that is yet.
Yeah.
And so I would chase the other thing, the thing that the whatever felt like love to me, right?
Right.
And it wasn't until I met my wife that I was like, oh, it's all these other things. And it wasn't till years later even that, like you said, you love your wife more now than you ever have. And what I'm experiencing in my relationship now is – it's that appreciation. It's the ability to create something with somebody, like a family.
Yeah.
The ability to share responsibility, which is something we're still working on. I'm still working
well,
on.
Well, sure.
But yeah. I don't want to describe something that sounds like codependency.
But, no, but it's a team, dude.
You're a team.
But that's exactly what it is. And I think you learn how to do that better the longer you're together.
Yeah.
Right? Or you should be able to figure that out.
Yeah.
Where you're working as a team and it's you guys.
Right.
It's you two and then the kids. It's you two and then your in-laws.
Yeah.
It's you two or the focus.
Right.
It should be the focus of the family for you guys. And then but for guys it takes a while for us to learn that you you have to be a part of a team,
right?
That basically the wife's the captain of.
And right. thank God. I mean, there are things that we are good at,
sure,
but there are so many things that they are better at.
Yeah, I think I don't know, man. Just in my experience, I think there's something to say about women's intuition.
It scares the crap out of me, but I have a profound appreciation for it.
I think there's something to say about it, you know, because I'm a bit of a risk taker,
yeah,
a renegade when it comes I used to love that show.
Renegade?
Yeah, Lorenzo Lamas.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had such beautiful hair.
Yeah, well, I mean, you went after that hair for a bit.
I did. Yeah. I want to bring Renegade back.
Do it.
But women's intuition, there's something to say about it, man. It's just like I can't really put my finger on it, but... 9 times out of the 10, my wife said, don't do it.
And she was absolutely right.
She was 100% correct.
Right.
You know, and I didn't listen. And, you know, I heard about it, but...
Well, sure. I mean, the amount of times our wives could probably say, I told you so.
Sure. But there are times, times where I have done things that turned out to be great that... She was like, I'm on the fence. I don't know, you know.
Okay, yeah.
But definitely the no's were smart no's.
Were smart no's.
But you're right. I think it's the teamwork and, hey, we're in this together.
Yeah.
You know? And I believe, Bradford, I believe a lot of that is a choice also.
Yeah.
You know?
There is something about, you know, I know this has been said before, but... Every day, marriage and relationships, every day is a choice to not just be in it, but to feed it. And
100%.
And it is a choice every day, but there is something about once you do that, and once you've fed it enough that you've accomplished things and you've built each other up and you can see what the other person has fed you and what you,
sure.
You there's a pride, there is a, and there's just a commitment to continue doing that because, the human experience with sharing the human experience with somebody like that is I just feel so lucky to have it.
Well, it's deeper than probably most. It's deeper and different than most friendships.
Well, yeah.
That you'll ever have, right? Relationships. Like, we're really close friends, and we've been through stuff together, and we'll continue to build things together and be together. But the stuff that obviously you're going to go through with your wife, good times and bad, and you guys stick it out, you know, it's just – it's an amazing – there's an amazing complexity to that.
Yeah.
That you appreciate if you're, I guess, self-aware enough to look at it that way.
Right.
Because I believe what you said is true, is I'm choosing every day on how to love my wife.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and it's, should I send her more flowers? Yeah, I should. No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
The things that we fall into is as married people, when you have kids and you have routines and you have work and you have life, you know, we forget sometimes the little things. I try not to, and I make a point of not doing it, but you just get caught up in life and you forget.
Well,
you know?
And there's sometimes that you're like, oh, we don't need that those little things because we have the big things.
Right.
But then that's the moment where you do need a little thing.
100%.
It's like, oh, okay, oh, I could send her flowers, but she knows I love her. But that's
we know that's what women appreciate the most. A little note on the fridge, a little just –
yeah, not necessarily a purchase, not necessarily
a gift. No, not even.
Just a reminder, just a thank you, just a – and you're right. It's – and, you know, obviously anniversaries are a good day to do that.
Correct.
But you're right. Sometimes it's the other days.
It's the other days.
And
it's funny because we were on the road and I was going to order her. I called this freaking florist right near our house like 20 times and no one answered the damn phone.
It's because everything's on the internet, bro. You got to order flowers online.
Well, I can't. I don't want to order flowers online.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted to talk to the person and I couldn't get a hold of them.
Well, you need one of those special bouquets that has protein powder in the middle. Like instead of pollen, flowers, the flowers, they don't get pollen on your counter. Like
I didn't get her flowers. I got her box of protein bars.
Multicolored, though. It was this beautiful basket of protein bars that made it look – it looked like a blooming flower, a blooming flower of whey protein.
But I'm at work today, and today's our anniversary, and I have the gym key.
Oh, man.
On my keychain to her dad's – you know, complex gym that she
where
loved,
she would like to work out today.
Well, she was on her way there
with
Brooklyn because Brooklyn could hang out in the room and she could still work out. So I just
because ain't just, that that's the thing, especially for moms young moms with young kids that want to work out. Kira joined a Cal Family Fitness in Sacramento. I don't want to put Cal Family Fitness under the bus, but I'm about to. And she signed up specifically because they had childcare. But they didn't – every time she would go there, the childcare was closed.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
And it just became so frustrating. Not only that, they were going through a renovation, and so all the amenities that they had promised her when she signed up weren't operating. Yeah, and it was so expensive.
Did you cancel that?
Oh, yeah, we did. Okay, we sure did.
Good.
But, yeah, gosh, when you have a kid
– it's hard because, on her Instagram, you'll see Brooklyn's always in there trying to work out, trying to whatever. Right. But anyway, so I have the key, and she's like, do you have the key to the gym? I'm like,
yes. Oh, but you got the flowers,
but I
right?
still love you. You got the flowers, right? They're awesome, huh? But I was going to say, I was trying to order flowers like 3 days before our anniversary, but then I'm like, that's kind of weird.
Oh, I see.
While we were on the road, I was going to order flowers, and I'm like,
I don't want to undercut
my
big flowers that are coming. Right.
So anyway.
Yeah. No. It's especially when we're on the road, we are so aware that that the brunt of it is falling on our partners, and and it's funny, we were talking about this communication on the road. You know, I drove this whole tour.
Yeah, because you're a control freak.
Well, I mean, my name was on the thing, and it was on my card.
Yeah, but we got to figure out so you don't have to drive the whole time, dude.
So then I wasn't communicating as well with Kira and the kids as I could have. And
right.
You know, my little girls are at such an age now where I want to be a part of their days.
Sure.
You
have that window where they're on the way to school.
Right.
Right. And you have that kind of little window to get everybody. You said you had everybody in the car at the same time. You
could there's the morning commute when they're going to school, getting them all on the phone is really unique. But then, you know, when they're going to bed, like dinner time and bedtime is a great time for FaceTime, right?
Sure.
But that's when we were arriving at clubs.
I know.
That's when we were doing sound check.
I know.
That's when we were getting into things, and it didn't always happen that I could talk to them, and that's challenging.
Yeah.
You know, because routine, I really think kids thrive on routine. I know our kids do. And, especially when we're away, knowing when they're going to hear from you. is a thing that I, you know, I would like for them to be able to relax into that and go, oh, I'm going to get to talk to dad at this time.
Sure.
And I know when I come home from school or whenever, I'm going to see him on the phone or whatever. And that's something I, you know, I want to be conscious of, especially next time when we go out and, you know, so, but,
which we're going to go out in April.
Yeah. Something, we get some kind of cool news.
Well, it's
today.
Interesting, it's, man. It's interesting. The comedy club world or tour is an interesting, we touched on it before, like, man, we're playing all these cool comedy clubs, right?
Yeah.
Where everybody, all these big comedians who we think are amazing play.
Sure.
Right? We have the utmost respect for stand-up comics because they truly have one of the toughest jobs, hands down, that there is, even more than an actor.
Yes.
Our jobs are great, but the fact that we get to get a job, A, prepare, rehearse, do takes, and you're just out there just by yourself.
Well, the thing is, if we make a mistake on set, it's not regarded as the end of the world. Or, you know, people do it all the time and you get another take or what. If you bomb as a stand-up comedian or if you say something that offends somebody in the audience or whatever, I mean, it comes back to you right away.
It can. Yeah, sure, it can. And but they just have thick skin, man, and the fact that they get up and do that and, you know, you listen to these comedians and how they come up with an hour special where it will take them 7 months
right.
in clubs, yeah. honing 5-10 minutes at a time yeah. to get to that hour. It's just so much work. They put so much work into it.
Yeah.
You know, but to be able to do these clubs are amazing. And, you know, the comedy club world, because Linda at Coastal is our basically our manager.
Yeah.
And she books all our stuff and she has for years, but and she has comics, she handles comics. She books other comedians also in all these clubs. She knows all these guys and she's the reason actually we started
way back when, right?
Daytime people started doing things at comedy clubs was because of Linda.
Yeah.
And
it's a perfect marriage really of space and function.
Sure it is. It, you know, 100% and size. Is. Right.
Right? Yeah.
And now that we're actually doing a show that is a comedy show, and we've been on the road all last year. We did whatever. I don't even know how many dates, but somebody probably does. 30, maybe?
I would say around that. 30.
Yeah. And this year we started off with 6 or 7. And so improv is a huge comedy franchise.
Right.
Essentially. And there's a bunch of mom and pop ones, and there's some other ones that are obviously very famous that we've all heard of, The Comedy Store and Zany's and Funny Bone. So essentially, the improv and Funny Bone, I guess, merged years ago. I don't know the exact business history on it.
Sure.
And a lot of these guys are part owners, bookers and comedians are part owners in a franchise, right? And
yeah.
Improv can be a franchise.
Right.
Like if we wanted to open an improv, we would open it just like a franchise.
Sounds fun.
Right? So a lot of these guys own 2, 3, 8 of them together with friends or buddies, whatever.
Yeah.
And so Linda got a call from somebody and he said, hey, I hear these guys that you got are selling. Hey, I hear that these guys are selling tickets. And she goes, yeah, they just had a great tour in Florida and they did a lot of dates last year. And he goes, yeah, on weekdays too, on weeknights, because, you know, club business is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
And that's it.
Right.
And there's no business ever Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
So he's like, they can come to any club we have anytime. And he sent a list over.
Wow.
So that means.
So people always ask us, why don't you guys ever come to Kansas City? Why don't you come to.
We're looking now at Kansas City. We're looking at Columbus.
Yeah.
We're looking at Denver. Now we have a spot in Denver.
So here's.
So
the...
whoever told us no.
Ha ha.
Now we have a place that we're going and we're going to invite you to be our guest that night. But so it's cool because he sent a list over. And it's just, you know, all these cool doors are opening because we got great fans, first and foremost.
That, I mean, that's the reason.
That's pretty much it.
That's the reason. You know, we would love to be able to go everywhere. And but one of the things is we have to we have to ask to be there in some ways, and a lot of people have told us no. And
yeah, because they don't really understand what the, what do you mean it's comedy?
Right.
Is it not comedy? Is it an appearance or not? What do they do? Who are they? What do you mean fans come out? This is weird. Not quite understanding it.
Yeah.
So no.
Right?
Right. And now that we've been doing a lot of improvs,
yes,
which have been amazing.
Yeah.
The word's getting around to the improv owners, like, no, these dudes are selling some tickets on a Tuesday.
Right.
Get them.
Right. Right.
You know, so I'm just excited, man, because it just, you know, we've been putting a lot of work into doing these shows. And,
yeah.
And obviously having fun with the podcast, but the fact that we got new cities that are opened up, dude, we've never been to Columbus.
No.
Together or separate or even with Port Chuck.
I shot a Value City commercial in Columbus, Ohio
there
back in 2004.
Well, I've been there for the Buckeye games, but
yeah, Value City. It was like a Black Friday commercial, and I was the kid with the door key that had to open the door for the
door key kid. Boom, boom.
Oh, look at you go!
Oh,
look at you
hey.
Go! I was the poor lackey that had to unlock the door for the crowds of people.
Oh yeah.
And almost
kill you?
Oh yeah, it was awesome. They showed me rubbing the key, and then the key was like bent because I was rubbing it so hard.
Oh, so you were kind of like a mentalist.
I bent it with my brain. I think that was the last time I was in Columbus.
Yeah, so Kansas City I'm excited about.
Totally.
Because, you know, great barbecue there.
Yes.
So we're going to eat some barbecue. And then Denver. So, man, I don't know. It's just really cool.
Yeah.
So that's good news.
We love being able to tell people, hey, we're actually coming to your city, because there's so many people who are like, why have you never come to Kansas City? Why didn't you ever come to St. Louis? Why didn't you ever come to Denver? And it's not that we haven't tried.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But now, thanks to your support, we are getting some yeses.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Like Cherie said 20 years ago.
Yes, she did say. She said yes.
And keep saying
yes. Yes. So, yeah. So it's funny because, you know, people always ask about the wives, of course. Right?
Yeah.
Get the wives on.
Right.
How'd you, I don't know whose voice that was. Get the wives on.
Right.
But if that's you driving, I didn't mean to imitate you perfectly.
Yeah.
How do you, Jason.
Yeah.
I love the New York. I love being on the East Coast.
Well, because
I know exactly as soon as I get off the plane, I'm there.
Well,
Jason!
Yeah. Well, it's and what I love about our New York audiences is they – it's funny. Some of these comedy clubs we've had to – they, you know, because we go and say, hey, what do you do for your pre-show announcement? Because we, you know, our one rule is just no video, so we don't get fired if we say something we shouldn't, basically, right?
Correct.
And it gets captured on video. We like to be free and not worry about that stuff. But the comedy clubs – they often say no chatting with your neighbor and
yeah.
Don't yell anything out at the stage, because that is a, you know, if you're going to see a comic.
Yeah, it's respect.
Unless the comic asks for input.
Yes.
Not yelling at the comic is a nice thing to that's a good rule. It's a good rule in a comedy.
Great rule.
However, in a show where we're all talking about a soap opera, we want you to be able to yell out to stage.
Yeah.
We want, you know, we're going to ask you questions. We want your input. We want your
interaction,
your raw reaction to some of
sure,
these things.
Sure.
But never do we feel that more than when we're on the East Coast, especially like say Long Island or Jersey. That's part of the, that's why we have engaged viewers.
It's amazing.
And I love
it. I don't even know if you've noticed this though.
Twitter has existed for years. It was just
in comedy
clubs
in Long Island.
144 characters at a comedy club in Long Island. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it was 144 characters. So I don't know if you noticed this because when they make the pre-show announcement,
yeah.
Right? Because obviously there's signs in there that say, don't video, don't take pictures, don't yell at the people.
Right.
Right? So I think there was three announcements that were made where the guy goes, hey, no video, but you could take as many pictures as you want. And they're like, yay! So I don't think people expect it because on the website it says
no pictures.
No, right? So we allow people to take as many pictures as they want during the show.
Right, and the clubs are confused by that.
And the clubs are very confused by that.
Yeah.
Well, they're very confused anyway
by
when
everything.
We get there.
Oh, it's fun going to a new club for the first time because we try to explain what's going to happen. And And it's always fun to talk to them after the show, because then they see, they get it.
They get it because, you know, the fans are very passionate.
Well, sure. Yeah. Sure. And so are we.
So, sure. Right. And we have a lot of fun. We do a 90-minute show that nonstop laughing and fun.
Right.
That's it. And then one manager was like, yeah, okay. I said, listen, here's the deal. This is what we need to do, and just make sure of this. We would take care of our people here. This is over here. Yeah, we've done this before.
Oh, man.
Right, we got that one. I go, okay, good luck.
Yeah.
So, and then we just walk away, and she's like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
It was amazing. So,
yeah.
Anyway, but people always ask about the wives.
Yeah.
You know, and how you met your wife.
Oh, yeah.
So do we want to do a
that'd be awesome.
five-minute or less version of
I would love that.
Of each?
Yeah, well, somebody – we got that – that was – someone asked that in our – came to our podcast question inbox on at stonecoldandthejackal@gmail.com. If you ever have questions for us, that's the way to do it, is to send an email to stonecoldandthejackal@gmail.com and put in the subject line podcast question. So we've had that one before. So, yeah, I think that's a great idea. So Kira and I both went to New York University. We trained in musical theater, which some of you may remember that I have done.
But you didn't know each other then.
She was a year younger than me.
Okay.
But – so I we had mutual friends. I would see her in the hallway.
Oh, really? I didn't even know this.
In her ballet leotard.
Okay. Calm down.
I mean, you know, at musical theater school for a 18 to 22-year-old straight male is pretty lovely. I'm not going to lie.
The truth from the jackal.
Well, I mean, the ratios are in your favor.
Sure.
It's like the Hunger Games. May the numbers always be in your favor or something like that?
Yeah.
When you're a straight man in musical theater, they are. So anyway, but so she was a year younger than me. And so like her freshman year, she would have been on different days there because the freshmen went different days than the upperclassmen. But then once she became a sophomore, we were in the same hallway 3 days a week.
I had no idea.
And so I knew her, but very peripherally.
Mm.
I saw her in a show. She was fantastic. And we had a lot of mutual friends. But, you know, I often say I wish we had had more time to I wish our youths were longer because I would have loved to spend more time with her. Like life with her is never going to be long enough, is all I'm saying.
Right.
But I'm very glad that I didn't meet her and try to have a relationship with her when I was 20.
Sure, because
I would have effed it up.
Yes.
So
there have been some casualties.
We came into each other's lives later, and I'm very grateful for that for obvious reasons. So because she's a super smarty and super motivated, has a work ethic like unlike anyone I've ever met. Graduated in 3 years with a double major.
Wow.
From NYU, which is a challenging school.
I'm not that good.
So she did that in 3 years. I mean, she spent an extra summer there. So her goal was to save her parents' money, which is incredibly noble.
Nice.
And that is something that I appreciate in our marriage because she still tries to do that.
Save her parents' money?
No. well, yes, she has saved her parents' money because she hasn't asked for money in a long time. So, right. Yeah. We ended up graduating in the same year because she finished in 3 years. So we ended up walking the same day. We graduated the same day, but we still weren't in each other's orbit at that time.
Right.
I went off to work. You know, she started working as well. And our paths didn't cross until I did a children's theater tour of a youth musical of it was a children's theater tour of a musical of Huckleberry Finn, and I played Huck, and a good friend of ours, Ari, played Tom, and so I knew him. He was from NYU too, and I knew him, and we were roommates on the road. It was like a bus and truck tour, like children's theater. We'd drive in two vans. One van had the set, and the actors would drive in another van, and we all took turns driving. It was five actors and a stage manager.
Wow, that's awesome. Know. That's what we're doing now.
Pretty much, yeah.
Called the Jackal
right.
And
yeah,
Jeremy.
Exactly. Jeremy, right, exactly. And so we would, you know, we drove around doing children's theater. You know, you'd show up at a school at 7 a.m., build the set, do the show, for, you know, the school, take it down and drive to the next city. That's what we would do. So he and I were on the were roommates on the road, and then about a year or two later, he got married, and he was really, really, like, he and Kira were like best friends in college, and so she was in the wedding, and I was invited to the wedding.
Nice.
And it was in April of 2008 in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and I'd been on the show for about a year and a half. And so I flew back to New York, and me and my buddy drove to Hershey for the wedding, and she was in the wedding, and I was like, oh my gosh, Kira, and we were seated at the same table during dinner. We danced, we talked, and like it was just, and we took each other's number, and we started texting. We texted all through the next day, and it just felt,
and that was it.
Pretty much. Yeah. And then we were coming back. It wasn't Port Chuck time yet, but you, me, Brandon, and Dirk, I think.
Maybe, yeah.
The four of us were coming into New York to do it. We were at the Long Island Marriott.
I remember.
It was, I think, maybe May of 2008. We were coming to the Long Island Marriott. We got to the Long Island Marriott, and I left. I said, I'm going to Manhattan. I'm going to visit this girl in Manhattan.
So when you did that, you did that, we would push the alarm on your room. There was a handicap accessible room you were in that had the alarm, like the button, like the doorbell.
Yeah.
That we kept pushing all night long because you ditched us.
That's right. You're terrible. That's people.
Terrible.
Terrible people.
I know.
So that was May of 2008. And then that summer she came out to LA to do a theater job up in the Central Coast. And so I would go up and visit her, drink wine while she acted, and I get to watch her perform and join a lot of wine clubs. It was a pretty idyllic summer. And then she moved to LA at the end of that summer, and we got engaged that following April. And
wow.
Yeah. So it was we were in each other's orbit. And she has this story about she went to I think it was a fortune teller. It was someone that read her tarot cards or something like that. And you know, the woman said, "Hey, do you not want to know who you're going to marry?" And Kira was like, "Okay." And she's like, "It's someone you already know. And his, you know, last name starts with A." And
interesting.
Turns out she was right.
Wow.
Yeah. So take those.
He's nicknamed after a wild hyena. Oh, that is awesome, dude.
So, yeah. So it seems like it was in the cards forever. And
yeah.
We were destined.
That's cool, man.
We were destined.
That's cool.
So, so that's my story.
Yeah.
I think I maybe took more than 5 minutes.
That's okay.
Apologies.
That's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's your story? Fab Fit Fun.
Triple F.
Dude,
That's what I call it now.
I love to say it. I love everything about it.
I see all these boxes by the door. I go, is the Triple F box here yet?
Come on. Come on. There is nothing better than receiving mail. There is nothing better.
Well, it depends on what kind of mail.
Well, that's true.
A box full of sweet gifts that normally would cost you over $200, they cost you $49.99.
That is a pretty sweet box.
That's some good mail to get.
So getting a seasonal subscription box with full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products, it's awesome, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Even more awesome when you can put in a cool code from our podcast. Awesome 10.
The number 10.
Awesome 10.
Zero.
That's
yeah.
Right. Gets you $10 off your first box at FabFitFun. We love these boxes. Our wives really love these boxes.
So do you think if we were to take a quick little poll from the audience, would they want the surprise box or would they want to customize the box? What do you think?
Here's the thing. You know,
because you can't customize it, so
you can make specific choices about it. Yeah. So I don't know. It depends on what your personality is, buddy.
Yeah, I guess so.
And you know, like I think I'm a bit of a control freak. So if they give me a choice, I might enjoy that choice.
Yeah, but you might miss out too.
That's true. So. The best gifts that I've received, sometimes my favorite clothes are things that my wife gets me without any of my input. Like sometimes you just got to trust the process.
That's right. So FabFitFun, check it out.
Yeah, right now they have their winter editor's box, curated stuff from people that know, people that have the relationships, people that know what the cool stuff is. They're picking stuff, putting it in a box, sending it to you, making your life better. FabFitFun. If you like our show, you're going to love all the shows on the Collider Network on Podcast One. The YouTube channel turned Podcast Super Network has got everything for your pop culture needs. Check out Collider Sports, Jedi Council, One-on-One with Christian Harloff, Movie Trivia Schmodown, Movie Talk, and so much more. Check out the Collider Network every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
So my story is, and we haven't talked about this?
You and I?
On the podcast?
I think you... You've mentioned, you've given like the very Cliff's Notes version.
Yeah.
The two questions you've asked and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, I did.
You do that on the road sometimes.
I was actually very happy as a bachelor.
Yeah.
Living with some friends, two friends. And it was
Dirk
and Nate.
Yeah.
Yeah. They worked here. Nate was a writer's assistant and then became a writer, script writer for a little while. And Dirk, you guys all know Dirk. So. We lived together, you know, we were having fun. I was doing appearances. It was a bachelor pad.
Yeah.
It was, you know, probably every woman's worst nightmare.
Well, the truth of it was probably everyone's worst night, woman's worst nightmare, but the allure of a soap star was probably,
they might
not have known it was their worst nightmare.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was in the summer and it was a GH picnic when we had picnics.
I never went to a picnic.
I know.
Where would they have it?
They would have it in Pasadena. Like they'd rent.
In like the Huntington Gardens? No.
Part of a park somewhere.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, this whole park is yours.
Wow.
And it was all just ABC and GH people, right? And they'd get bounce houses and barbecues. And it was
Can you imagine?
It was amazing.
I'm picturing like Leslie Charleston and Stuart Damon in a bounce house
together. Yes. Stuart would always double jump her and Leslie be in a tree.
Just bounce her.
Boom. Bye. Where's Leslie? There she is. Can you go get Leslie? So I remember walking out of the bathroom
An outhouse?
No, it was one of the outdoor kind of, not an outhouse, but it was a
outdoor bathroom. What do they call outhouses?
One of the concrete ones, like you would at the beach.
It's a built-in one.
Right. Yeah. So I was walking out and I saw her. First time ever. And I'm like, who is that? Yeah. I've never seen her before.
Sure.
Who is this?
Who is that?
And I was just like, what? I got to get this woman's name right now.
Right.
So we go, I start talking, I go, who is this person over here? Who is this? I need some answers, man. Who is this? And I was kind of had like the butterfly, so I didn't have enough courage to go up.
Actually talk to her?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, hey, hi, I'm Steve. What's your name?
Right.
No, that didn't happen. I was too nervous.
So you wrote a note and gave it to Nate.
No, I didn't even do that.
Check this box.
I was saying, who is this? Who is this?
Would you go out with me? Check this box.
And they said, oh, she's a new intern.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So when does she start? They're like right after the break or whatever.
She hadn't even started yet.
So I had never seen her. But they invited her
right
to say, hey, come on, bring your family, whatever. So I said, okay, cool. Thank God I don't have to talk to her today because I'm just a little nervous.
You'll see her. I'll
see her in a work environment. I can talk. Right. And so I came back and sure enough, she was here.
Yeah.
And she was having a difficult time. You know, the interns here, they'll work in different departments.
Right.
To go see if they want to do anything that has to do
with cool
TV movies.
Yeah.
It's a great program. So she was coming down with all the scripts that she would – remember when the actors would sign
– before, like – oh, to sign them.
Sign them all, right? So she had probably 15 scripts.
And they're huge.
Have to go door to door.
So you could already see she was into fitness because she could hold that many scripts.
Yeah, that and that
wow, she could lift.
She needed a lot of help.
Because
she was kind of I helped her and I said, hey, how are you? And we started talking and basically I knew within a couple weeks that I wanted to ask her to marry me.
Holy moly.
Not just
ask her out.
Well, I did. Listen, the whole asking out was I never dated anyone that I worked with.
Right. That's a pretty good rule.
It's been a great rule.
Yeah.
Because we've seen the opposite.
The
opposite result of that.
Yeah, I don't know. Have we ever
a success?
No. I mean, obviously, we've seen we've seen actors that work together date.
Sure.
Has anybody met here besides you guys? Is there any marriages that have started like front of camera, behind camera?
Mm. I don't believe so.
Yeah, so you might have that only spot.
And 20 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was like, man, I want to ask her out. I want to ask you out, but I can't date. I can't date someone who works here. It's just not going to work.
Right.
How long's your internship?
Right.
She's like 3 months or 4 months. I go, gosh, dang it. So we kept, you know, seeing each other. I'm like, do you really want to do this for a living?
You're terrible.
I'm a terrible person. Do you really want to do this?
Do you have dreams of working in this industry? Too bad. How about dating me?
Do you really want to do this for a living? This is a dead end. I said, I just can't do it. I can't do it. And so she ended up basically quitting anyway.
Oh, okay.
We'll figure out why later. But she ended up quitting. So we were able to go out.
Okay.
And that was amazing.
And that was amazing.
And that was the beginning of us obviously dating. And I just knew. It is a true story. I said, do you want to be an actress? And
right.
She said, no. And I said, will you marry me? But it didn't really happen that way.
Right.
But I did not want to date an actress.
Right.
I knew that. I've seen the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
If we can learn from our forefathers, okay, of Hollywood.
Right.
I could say not to have an actor and actress date. Yeah. It's usually not the best idea. It doesn't usually work out.
Right.
Right.
Well,
so
I married an actress, but it worked out.
But that's not what she's pursuing right now.
Right now. Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
So her pursuit is not herself.
Correct.
Right. So, and we started dating, and I knew, I just knew. There was just something like you were talking about. There was just something different.
Yeah.
There was something, you know, whether of course it was lust in the beginning.
Sure.
But there was just something different where I'm like, this is, I don't know what's going on. This is something's happening here.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew it. And within a, you know, it was a couple months and I came back one night after a date and I told Dirk and Nate, I'm like, hey, you guys are going to have to find another place to live because I'm going to be getting married here. And they're like, yeah, dude, yeah, whatever. Okay, shut up. Course. Give me a beer. You know?
Right.
But they didn't really take me seriously. But, you know, we started dating. And then I asked her to marry me.
Did we already talk about how we asked them on the podcast?
No, I don't know if we did.
Because I'm not sure I know how you did.
Oh, well, I can tell you pretty easily.
I would love that.
Her dad wasn't her dad wasn't happy.
How could he not be happy with you?
He was not having it.
Oh, man.
He's such a great guy, too, and we joke about it.
Why
still,
you gotta be so rude?
Still,
don't you know I'm human, too? Gonna marry her anyway?
Yeah, I'm gonna marry her anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I asked him.
And?
And he was like, nah, I don't really think that's gonna work out.
The
best idea.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm not gonna go.
You guys can do it, but I won't be there?
I won't be there. I said, really?
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, you guys should probably get some premarital counseling. She's young. She was still living at home.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I couldn't disagree with that.
Sure.
Because you're going into a marriage. And,
yeah.
You know, the more information you have, probably
hey.
The better. So so we did. And, you know, everything turned out great. Went through premarital counseling. And I asked her, I got a ring from Sean Kanan's dad.
Oh, right.
So Sean's dad was a big jeweler in Pennsylvania, Youngstown, actually. That's right on the border. I think they're on the border of Pennsylvania.
Ohio,
yeah. And I got a great ring. And
did you have to go to Pennsylvania or did they
know? No, he sent it. Sean got it for me.
How do you – that make me nervous.
Yeah.
Sending a diamond ring in the mail.
They know how to do it.
Yeah.
They're jewelers. They know what they're doing.
I suppose so.
So, but that thing was burning a freaking hole in my pocket, dude. That thing was like, I was just wearing that thing out. I'm like, ooh, open the thing. Ching, open it. I got to ask her. So I planned it. It was a beach in Malibu.
Very nice.
One of the coves over there, El Pescador Beach in Malibu. And the problem is you had to park up high and walk a long freaking way down.
Sure.
Right? So it was a picnic.
Okay.
A picnic date.
Right. Is that... Was it pretty I mean, was it pretty transparent? Do you think she knew?
She had no idea.
For real?
No idea.
You guys just went picnicking on the beach a lot?
Yeah. I mean, we just did stuff like that all the time. Like,
that's pretty cool.
Did, you know, yeah, romantic things like that we'd do. So I'm like, hey, we're going to go to Malibu. And she said afterwards, she goes, I knew something was wrong with you.
Like, wrong.
Because I was so nervous, dude.
Oh, yeah,
I was so nervous.
Either he's got
I
tape,
have the
yeah
tape somewhere of me. Like, okay, this
oh,
is the day.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You know, we're going to, you know, and so we get that. We
well,
get,
that's hard, dude. Your hand was probably shaking because you were holding a huge camcorder.
Yeah, and it was black, and I was nervous.
And you had a VHS tape, and in there. It was like a 50-pound camcorder. Yeah, that's why.
It was a camera like you see on the news.
Yeah.
So we get down to the beach, and it's great. It's a little too windy down there, but we're making the best of
so
it.
So your hair was on point.
My hair was fine. And so we're there, and I scheduled a plane with a banner.
Shut your face.
Yeah. So I
come on.
Yeah.
So you had a pretty strict schedule then.
Oh, I was on the schedule. So we got there a little late because of traffic.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm rushing the 3-meal lunch course.
Like, what were the 3 courses?
Like, I can't remember exactly what right it was, but I'm like, okay, so here's some crackers or whatever. I'm
right
like, okay, here's your sandwich. And she's like, what's wrong with you? You know, because I'm like looking at the time. The freaking plane's going to be coming.
You could see the plane coming.
I'm looking for the plane. I'm like, oh, no, I forgot the camera in the car.
Oh, because you were going to
record
yeah
afterwards, or I was just going to record.
Sure.
I just wanted the camera. I yeah thought I should have the camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was such a far run, and I knew I was against the clock already. I'm like,
right,
I got to go. So I thought I was going to have a freaking heart attack
because
you're running up the mount, up the cliff,
right,
however many flights of stairs that is, get then to the car and then back down. I'm like, I'm dying. And then the plane comes by. You know, it does a few flybys just in case.
Look up there. Look up there.
Just
look
so like,
look up there.
Do you see it? Oh, it's gone. Did you see it? Did you see it? What?
Oh, wow,
see what?
How
so,
do you try to say something and then just look up and have the question?
Well,
or is it like, hey, look at that. That's weird.
Yeah, I had to do something like that. I was like, hey, look, that's a weird plane. And that said, will you marry? And then I pulled out the ring.
Right.
And she was in complete shock.
Really?
She did say yes.
Well, that's good.
So,
well, I mean, we have evidence that she
we
did
have evidence,
yeah,
but
yeah
she was in shock.
Wow.
Because she was not expecting it.
Yeah.
She was still living at home. She wasn't like, yeah, I can't wait to get married and move out. And it
right
was just a shock for her.
Wow.
And then the best part of it is, so that was great. Thank you, honey. And thank you for saying yes.
Oh, I thought you said that's what she said. Oh, that was great. Thank you.
No, thank you, honey, for saying yes. But then we went to the engagement dinner with her family.
Oh, you would schedule that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Like
and
going straight from that to there.
Yes.
Right.
And it was like being at a memorial service.
Her family was
her dad
devastated
was super depressed.
Oh,
her
man.
Her brother, John, who a lot of people know John,
yeah,
he was young. He did not want to give up his sister.
Oh.
He was a super quiet kid anyway.
Yeah.
And her mom was okay. Her
yeah
mom was cool.
Right.
But it was like the most awkward
right
dinner celebration
I
ever.
I just know that some of our listeners were saying, thinking to themselves, if I brought Steve Burton home and I was going to marry Steve Burton, my family would be pretty thrilled.
Well, they probably would have been. But it's
that,
great, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's how it happened. Her dad and I are really close now.
I know. It's have certainly turned the corner in that respect.
Sure, but I still remind him.
That's great.
All the time.
See how good this has turned out? You didn't want this,
yeah,
buddy.
You didn't want this, you son of a.
Well, it's funny. The way I proposed to Kira ended in, well, I mean, there's very different, but I planned a party immediately after.
Wait, did we tell this story? Are we two old people
that are telling the same stories over and over again?
Did you go in a limo?
I did.
And you had to drive around the restaurant or something?
I did. Did we tell that on the podcast? But I think I used you as a decoy. I used an event as a decoy.
Yes, you did tell the story.
Okay, well then I won't bore you.
Well, you
again
can tell it real quick again, but why not?
No, it was a women's expo that I told her I was going to. Like, I used to go to these women's expos, and, you know, it was before the days of iCalendar, so we didn't have a shared calendar. So I just would, you know, I told her, and she didn't, like, look up online to see, oh, is there actually a women's expo that weekend?
Right.
So I said I was going to a women's expo, and I'd called her best friend.
Right.
And flown in her best friend that weekend and said, oh, man, I'm going to miss her. I got to go to this event. And so her best friend was there. And so one of the nights that her best friend was there, I was like, hey, you know, I'm so sad. I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be there. I'd love to, like, send you guys out on the town. So I sent them a car.
Right.
And said I had dinner reservations for you. So I'm just – the car's going to show up. You guys will go out to dinner. Just, you know, on me. Just enjoy yourselves. But I – and I had asked, so this was like going to be in April. I called her dad in January to ask for his blessing. And I said, I need your help. I want you and your wife and her brothers to be down here. But we couldn't tell her mom. Her mom is not good at keeping exciting secrets.
Sure.
Secret. So we had to keep it from her mom as well. So her dad had to come up with a reason why everybody had to come to LA. So he created like a dental conference or something. So he brings his wife, the kids are down to LA, and I flew in my family and some friends. And so basically what happened is they got picked up. Well, the night before is when I surprised her mom. I go to the hotel that they're staying at, and my sister was in town for the party too. So we knock on my mother-in-law's door, and she thinks, because she talks to Kira every day, she thinks that I'm off doing something.
Sure.
So her dad opens the door, and her mom's in her nightgown, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to ask your daughter to marry me tomorrow. And so that was super fun. And so, yeah, so the car picked them up. They brought them to this restaurant, and her dad is there waiting for her. And he takes her out of that car and then walks her down the sidewalk to a parked limo.
Mm.
And opens the door, and Kira gets in, and so I proposed to her as in the limo, as we drove around the block, and then the whole as we came back, everyone was in the restaurant waiting for us.
Wow! That's
and she's cool. Like, she's like, she was so taken out of sorts by her dad being there,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
But then she's like, I swear to God, I thought I saw your mom and my mom's heads behind some bushes. And she's like, she thought it was maybe, yeah. So, but sure enough. So then, you know, we come back and we have the party right then.
Yeah, that's cool.
And you know, so that it was.
It's cool, man.
Yeah. It was a fun way to, I'd never planned a party. I'd never planned, like, I'd never fancied myself much of an ideas guy. But I had this vision for how I wanted it to go, and it went off. It was awesome.
Cool.
It was so fun.
Nice.
So now we have answered that question of how we met our wives, how we wooed them, and how we wed them.
Enough of this mushy stuff.
I know. So
give me a mean tweet, dude.
I know. Gosh, you know what? Valentine's Day is coming up. I guess I don't know. We should have saved it for that.
Should start planning
but
something.
But I know. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mean tweet. So Stevie. Last week, someone likened you to a tampon, I believe. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that?
Very clearly.
Remember
yes.
That good time? I think it was sure. it was both in appearance and in function because you are inserted into every storyline. So this person is comparing you to another thing.
Oh wow! I'm just really can't wait
you're
to
really,
hear this one.
Yeah, you're really.
What are they comparing me to now?
Well. I think certain people just want Sam with anybody but you.
Okay, great.
And okay, so this is
well, that's not really going to work out for them. Well,
probably not. So this person says Sam and Hank have
hold on, no, hold on.
Their ship name. Guess what their ship name would be?
I know it's Shank. Or ham. Dude, that's amazing. Dude, you don't even have to read anymore now. That was enough for that tweet. That was a good laugh. Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. All right. I'll finish that one now.
Sam and Hank have chemistry, and they look good together.
Okay.
You ready?
That wasn't the tweet?
No.
Okay.
Boiled hot dog Jason.
What? That's amazing. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
That is
awesome. That is, oh, wait, it's not finished yet.
Boiled hot dog Jason is so unnecessary. Because Shank have each other now.
That's it? So you're going to come up with boiled hot dog Jason, which is actually very funny.
It's amazing.
Which is amazing. And then you're going to finish off with is unnecessary?
Yep, because Sam and Hank will have each other together forever.
Dawn of day.
Dawn
of day
it's
couple.
It's dawn of a new Shank day.
What is it? Moon's over my hammy. What is that? Denny's breakfast. Oh, gosh. Maybe they get a free ham sandwich somewhere.
Yep.
Is funny, dude. So, boiled hot dog.
Boiled
Jason.
Hot dog. I used to work concessions like back at our youth league, and I remember. Well, I guess I remember steamed hot dogs. Boiled hot dogs are a little more wrinkly.
Who boils hot dogs? Who the freak boils hot dogs?
I get the steaming.
Have you ever boiled a hot dog?
I don't think so. I'm more of a pan searer. I used to in college.
You microwave them.
Well, you know what I would do?
Wrap them in a paper towel.
A paper towel. I would do that.
And then they'd have freaking sun blisters.
Yeah. So maybe you're more of a microwave hot dog.
Oh, you're such a.
I remember, though,
such a hot dog. You're such a little hot dog.
I remember in college when I wasn't worried about health or anything.
Health? Is that what you said?
I wasn't worried about health. I would make hot dog sandwiches, right? So I would
cut it in half?
I'd cut it in
quarters. Oh, so you'd put four on a piece of bread?
I'd put one hot dog half and then cut it in half. So you would cover a piece of bread,
sure.
Right? And I would put it in a frying pan. And just cook it like that. Obviously, it's amazing.
You hillbilly. What did you put in there? Butter? What did you fry it with?
What did I fry my hot dog with? Yeah, I guess. Well, you didn't really need to fry it with any. I guess probably butter though. But yeah.
And what? Wonder Bread?
Oh yeah, yeah. Maybe it was,
did you ever do Wonder Bread?
Maybe it was wheat bread just to make myself feel better. Yeah.
It's not how it works, by the way.
I cooked a hot dog.
The wheat
butter.
Doesn't negate the
doesn't
the processed.
That's your expert
lips and freaking pig ass.
Burt Nutrition taught you that?
No. Common sense did. It's stupid.
Mr. Google can teach you
a lot, Bradford.
So you're a boiled hot dog, not a steamed hot dog, nor a grilled hot dog. Just a boiled hot dog.
Boiled hot dog Jason.
Boiled hot dog
boiled
Jason.
Boiled hot dog Jason.
BHDJ. PhD
is unnecessary.
Is unnecessary.
Yeah,
so
I know. What can you do?
I'm glad to see you're not taking that too hard. I mean, I read that.
Gave me a good laugh.
Well, because see, here's like, I mean,
laughing is good.
The tweet in itself is not, you know, like, but I just that term made it for
me.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Made it. So
it was amazing.
I can't wait to see what you're compared to next.
I cannot wait.
Well, because here's the thing. I am plenty used to. People
filming yourself. Apparently, you're very used to self-videoing yourself.
I'm
doing the podcast with you, so I could actually hold this for you.
Yeah, get your puffy fingers out of the lens, there, buddy.
Just turned it off.
You dummy. What can I help you with?
What can I help you with, boiled hot dog, Jason?
Yeah, how about taking a video and not making it, not ruining it.
Oh, man. Terrible. What are these guys drinking?
I know, right?
It's almost time. I'm going
to
make you drink boiled hot dog
water. That's delicious.
Would you drink
juicy it? Juicy hot dog water?
Would you drink it?
Absolutely.
A cup of it?
I mean, not like...
For how much?
I was going to say, it wouldn't just be for free for my pleasure.
No, but how much would it cost to drink a glass of
a whole cup of it?
Like 8 ounces. That's a cup.
Well, I mean, you're supposed to drink 8 ounces of water every day, so that's...
So you will do boiled hot dog water... 8 ounces.
Okay. Do you think does all the sodium from the hot dog go into the water?
Well, you have to. It's going to be definitely from a pot that's been boiling.
How many hot dogs? How many hot dogs
for hours?
How many hot dogs in the pot?
For hours.
For hours.
It's been they just scoop them out the hot dogs, put a new batch in. Scoop them out, put them a new batch in.
Oh, I don't know. I can do that, bro.
Why? What's the difference?
What's the difference between 100 hot dogs sitting in a pool of water and one?
Yeah.
100 hot dogs. That's the difference, bitch.
No, 99, bitch. I got 99 problems and a hot dog ain't one. So would you drink it or no?
I'd have a sip. It would be salty and delicious, probably.
But would you drink it for $100?
For $100? That's a lot of sodium. That's probably
eight ounces.
That's probably a week of sodium. Ah.
$100.
I don't know if I could do it for – because I'm not sure if you have that many hot dogs coming in and out of that water.
I don't know, dude. It's boiling.
Because – all right. So I've been witness to when you steam hot dogs, you take the water out and you see that water.
Okay.
If you're – but that's not – that's just hot dogs sweating
$200.
Into the water. $200.
8 ounces.
Eight
of
ounces
hot dog water.
Of 100 hot dog boiled water.
Yes.
Maybe.
300.
Sure.
got your price.
Just found my number.
Everybody has a price. Everyone. Everyone out there. $300.
Yeah.
So now, unfortunately, people are going to bring boiled hot dog water to our shows.
I know. Just for – people used to bring me orange soda and barbecue chips. Now they're going to bring me boiled hot dog water.
That's not good. Okay. What happened to Starbucks cars?
I know, right?
What happened to those?
Boiled hot dog water.
Now I'm getting – which I appreciate, by the way. I'm getting cans of Axe.
Oh, that's good, dude. So we have another question.
We're
going
to have to come up with a jingle for a question.
I know, you're
point.
Right. I know.
You know what I mean?
Do you want to do that?
Yeah, we're going to just have to beatbox or something.
Yeah. Well, then let's try it. Let's.
What do you mean? I don't know how to beatbox.
Oh, DJ Jason Morgan, who is now sadly deceased.
R.I.P.
Come on, you know how to beatbox.
I don't know how to do it, dude.
Dude, you know you do. You're just
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how to beatbox.
Do you want me to beatbox with you?
What are we going to beatbox, though?
I don't know. Would it make you feel more comfortable? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do the snare?
The bass
or the snare?
Snare? Can you beatbox? Just beatbox. That sounds like Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Great.
Don't worry.
Be happy.
Question time.
Oh, no.
No, that's it. I can't beatbox, dude. What am I going to do?
Question time. Question.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a question from from Julie. Thank you so much for your question, Julie. It's another technical question, which is kind of cool because we actually get people seem to really like hearing about the technical elements that maybe you haven't thought about before, or you have thought about all the time, and you're aching for answers.
Aching.
So the question is: when the show is edited down. All right, so she says, we only see parts of scenes at a time. Do you actually film the whole scene at one time and then edit the scenes to what we see, or do you film each small scene separately? So I think what she's asking is if you're in Sonny's living room
sure.
for a whole show,
yes,
do you film the whole entirety of what you're saying for that episode at, like, is it one long scene that they edit down?
Correct. Good. That's a good question.
Or,
I think people would be interested in knowing that essentially every scene is its own scene.
Correct.
Right? Because usually we have a tagline or a tag look. So there's not – it's not often that and nor would there be a way for a viewer to know that if they did cut some things out that weren't in – that were in the script that didn't make it to air.
Right.
And there are plenty. I will tell you this. There's a lot of stuff left on the editing room floor because of time constraints.
Absolutely.
There are complete scenes that have probably been left out because of time.
Right.
Right? So let's take that question a step further.
Let's take it further.
So when you see the show, you'll see it edited like Nurse's Station, Sonny's, Sam's Penthouse, Metro Court. Right?
Yeah.
That's how you'll see it. And then they'll go back usually to Sonny's and they'll go through the whole progression again.
Right.
To further the story. Right? But when we shoot it, we will shoot all of Sonny's together.
Yes.
Right. Scenes 1 through 6. We'll shoot them all together because that way we don't have to relight things, or they don't have to move the cameras all the way downstage and all the way back to save time. So we do shoot all the sets at one time, even though you see them spread out throughout the air show.
Right.
Right.
So yeah, I think that would answer your question, Julie. So if Steve and Maurice are doing a series of scenes. They're not all – they are shot consecutively.
Consecutively, but they are their own individual
their
scenes.
Their own individual scenes. But then they get mixed up within – because, you know, I think whenever the show – you know, if and when we do a live show, which, you know, some of the shows did in the old days, and when we did a live show a couple years ago, the cameras would have to move between sets.
Sure. Like today, we're shooting Kevin's office, in the nurse's station, Dawn of Day, Metro Court, and the GH roof. So when we see the show that will air 2/11, we'll see all those things put together.
TV making magic.
That's it. That's how we do it, man.
Well, thank you for the question, Julie. Thank you, Julie. All your questions. And remember, if you do have a question, stonecoldandthejackal@gmail.com with podcast question in the subject.
Yes.
So we know where to put it because they get separated out. So if you don't do that, your question will get lost. So please do that if you want a question.
As always,
we are.
Thank you for your support. And new dates are coming.
That's
right. Which we're excited about. So stonecoldandthejackal.com.
Make sure you're on the email list there.
Correct.
That's where the, if you're on the email list, you get an email with the podcast information every week. When we have new dates, we send them out there too.
Yeah.
It's a good resource, really.
It's a great resource.
For things about Hot Dog Jason.
Boiled Hot Dog. Not Hot Dog Jason. That's
right.
Different.
You're right. That sounds like you're
boiled,
cool.
Boiled Hot Dog Jason does not sound cool at all. And that's for me. I'm out.
All right. Thanks, everybody. That's awesome. We'll be back next week.
Awesome.